Good morning. So Acts 16, as Guy said, starting at verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned round and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks so much, Sarah. And thanks to Heather, too, who's been dealing with some gremlins this morning. You've done really well. Andy, would you like to come up and I'll pray for you before you speak? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing Andy and Michelle to us today. And we pray that our hearts might be open, that we might have ears to hear from you, and that your spirit would take his words and his stories and experience and enable us to be shaped and to be enlightened so that we could know you more. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Giles. Morning, everybody. It's good to be here. Quite special, isn't it? It's lovely. So thanks for the welcome. And Harrogate is special to me. In fact, the Message Trust was birthed in Harrogate, about half a mile away. Well, I don't know, how far is the conference centre from here? Yeah, so in 1987, myself and my brother Simon had a fashion business, and we were displaying our wares at the Harrogate Fashion Fair, and we had a quiet afternoon, and we started to talk about some of the young men we employed in our business, who were a bit of a nightmare. Our factory was in inner city Manchester, and there were all kinds of break-ins and vandalism and all sorts of nonsense. But we also had been trying to find churches in that locality that could maybe connect with these men in some way, young men in some way they could relate. We couldn't find any. And we were like, somebody needs to organise a mission to these young people. By the end of that afternoon, me and my brother had decided we were going to organise Manchester's biggest ever youth mission. And we were going to book the biggest rock venue in Manchester for a week. We were going to write to every church. We had it all organised. And I drove back home to Manchester from the Harrogate Fashion Fair that evening, feeling like the wheels of my car were 3 inches off the ground. And I was a bit like, look out, devil, here come the Hawthorne brothers. And then I got home and every ounce of faith drained out of me. And I was like, yeah, as if you could do that. You know, you haven't got the money, you haven't got the connections, you haven't got the gifting. All you've got is a heart for these kids who need Jesus. And I said, Lord, if this really is you, if you want me and Simon to step out in faith like we've never stepped out before, would you speak to us through the Bible? And so I opened the Bible and I was doing one of those journey through the Bible in a year things. And my set reading for the day was Isaiah 43. And particularly verses 18 to 21 just jumped out at me. It says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? There'll be rivers in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals will honor me. Those I've designed to form my praise. And it was the Lord. And I phoned my brother up and said, God's going to do this, Si. And so we wrote to every church in Manchester, arrogantly and naively. We booked the biggest rock venue in Manchester. And God did a new thing. It was amazing. Young people came to Christ. Churches started working together. We did it again in 89. Then we formed a funny band we called the Worldwide Message Tribe, me and a mate and some dancers from our youth group. And we kind of got popular all over the world. I don't even know how that happened because I can't sing, dance or rap. But God, again, God just liked the heart. And then we left the business. I left the business and downscaled my lifestyle and set up the charity in 92 as a one-man band. And what a journey it's been. 26 years later, we now have well over 100 staff in Manchester and programs all over the UK and now, in fact, all over the world. We have actually become a worldwide message tribe with a message of the gospel at the absolute center. But globally, we've got message hubs springing up all over the place. And we're kind of a tribe trying to work it out, keep the same vision and values, but how do we reach as many people as possible? And I guess we do two things. We do big events. You know, we've just seen well over 1,000 young people commit their lives to Christ across Yorkshire, doing big gigs and going in 50 schools across this county. And then we also do incarnational work where people move into the most deprived communities. In the last 20 years, believe it or not, over 700 people have become downwardly mobile and joined what we call an Eden team. It's an amazing thing. If we build the government for their volunteer work, the bill would be £3 billion at minimum wage. But Christians are doing it just because they love the last and least and lost. And it's been a precious thing. And we work in prisons and we have 5 high-tech youth buses. We now have 6 bands who do it a lot better than the Worldwide Message Tribe ever did. And it's been amazing and it's been the Lord. And I'm going to show you a video, if it's working. Let's see, hopefully. Which kind of is our global video. There you go. What's this?
We must remember the word of the Lord to the message is, see, I'm doing a new thing. God, I'm telling you, can do more in 5 minutes than takes a lifetime of human effort. We're just partnering with a God who loves his world and he's just looking for people with a heart after him so he can bless his world through them. I look back in awe at what God's done. We don't do it because we have to. We do it because we get to.
That's the message. And a lovely thing happened in that we had a prayer meeting just back there, and this lady on the second row, what's your name again? Karen. Carol, who apparently hears the Lord. I've got that on Good Report, that you hear the Lord. And the prayer meeting started like this. We gathered in a little circle. Carol said, "The Lord gave me this word this morning. I was just reading the Bible. Isaiah 43, verse 18. See, I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord." How amazing is that? Come on, isn't that encouraging? I'm excited. And even that, yeah. And even that, just that prayer just built my expectation for this morning, that God's ready to do a new thing this morning in our lives and through his word to us. Giles kindly encouraged me to encourage you to partner with the message, and I'd love that. And if you would like to, we have a magazine called Flow, a free magazine full of power-packed testimonies and teaching and stories from around the world of what's happening with the message. There's lots of copies at the back. Please take one on our little stand there. And if you fill in this card, which are dotted all around the church, we could send you that every quarter. Please feel free to multitask and do that while you're listening to me if you'd like to receive our regular mailing. And also, perhaps some of you could, you know, we said pray, join. Maybe some of you could join an Eden team. Every 3 days, somebody is making that amazing step to live in a deprived community. We'd love to talk to you. Maybe you know a young adult who could join our year program, which completely called Message Academy, which completely changes people's lives. We've seen it again and again. And maybe some of you could even consider standing with us financially. Whatever you do, do not nick money from this church to give to the message. But if over and above what you give into the local church, you're able to give to the Message Trust, that would be amazing. And regular giving is kind of the lifeblood of a ministry like the Message. And so we have a special partner pack for anybody who's able to regularly give any amount to the Message. And we've put this together because we make all these, I think, the fantastic resources anyway, a team at the Message, that just fuel people in their mission. And in the partner pack, you'll get this, which is the 20-year story of Eden. These remarkable people who've lived, and some wonderful testimonies, some of the lessons we've learned, some of the mistakes we've made. It's called Unfinished. And you'll get this, which is a book that the leadership team at the Message wrote called Being the Message, about, you know, we have grown faster than certainly most charities, maybe than any charity actually, in the last 25 years. And it's been an amazing journey, not because we're the smartest, but because God's blessed us. But we have done some things like keeping prayer hot and keeping Jesus-centered mission hot and not taking ourselves too seriously and loving the poor, but never forgetting the poorest of the poor and having faith for finances. And there's chapters about all these things that maybe it could help you as you think about what's my mission, what's God got for me. So it's a book called Being the Message. You'll get in that pack. And you'll get this, which is my latest book called Here I Am. For 4 years, I was chugging through Isaiah with our team. And then I've written this book called Here I Am. And there's all sorts of associated resources and videos that you can get that go with that book. And you'll get a CD that lots of you'll hate, by a band called Amongst Wolves, one of our bands. It's they're kind of a pop punk band. But it's good that you hate it, because your kids will love it, or your grandkids will love it, and you can give it to them. And then there's a DVD with lots of teaching videos of mine. But the pièce de résistance in this little pack is this fella, which is a pen drive with 100 talks from the last 10 years of some of the amazing people who've come through the Message. And we thought, we're getting all these incredible speakers like Lewis Palau and Brother Andrew and George Verver and, you know, Danielle Strickland and all these amazing communicators, some of the world's best, coming and fueling us in our mission. And we're kind of keeping it to ourselves, but we're not anymore. So on this pen drive is 100 talks from these people over the last kind of 100 best talks about mission. And it's there to duplicate, share with your friends, listen in your car, on your computer. And that's fair if you can partner with us any amount regularly. Because it's not about amount, it's about heart and commitment. If you'd love to do that, please see us at the stand and we can help you out with that. Amazing. Let's just pray again, can we, as we come to God's word. Thank you for your amazing, life-changing, living word. And I pray, God, as we look into this passage, that change will come. You know what we need, God, and you love to meet our needs. Speak to us, Lord. Amen. All right, you heard the passage read a lot better than I could have done it. And if you want a title for this talk, it's "The Gospel is for Absolutely Everybody." Nothing like the Christian gospel. You know that, don't you? It's exploding all over the world. And in fact, I love to say this whenever I possibly can. 7th of April, 2019 is an exciting day in the life of the Christian church. In fact, in some ways, it's the most exciting. You know why? Because today, almost certainly, more people are going to come to know Christ around the world than at any time since he rose from the dead. I mean, don't you think that deserves a cheer or a clap or something? Because the Spirit of God is moving all over the world, and it may not feel like it when you live in Harrogate sometimes. But the fires of revival what's happened even in my lifetime is extraordinary. I went to this conference recently. I was telling some friends about this yesterday. I went to this conference, and there were two sessions, one after another. It was a church planting conference. The first session was a guy who works in China, and he was explaining the extraordinary move of God in China. Since Mao Zedong kicked all the missionaries out, locked all the pastors up, bulldozed lots of churches, tried to shut down Christianity, it was the worst thing he could have done. Because when you try and crush Christianity, it just flourishes and grows. And soon the Chinese church will be the largest numerically in the world. 150 million Christians, they reckon, in China. From about 3 million when that happened. How amazing is that? That was the first guy. I'm like, wow, there is a God. And he's on the move. And the next guy was from Iran. He was an Iranian missionary working in Iran, half Iranian guy. And he spoke about the extraordinary things that happened in Iran in the face of the most brutal persecution, in the face of evangelists literally having their tongues cut out and buried alive and all this crazy stuff. Do you know where the fastest growing church in the world percentage-wise is? Iran, amongst Farsi speakers. How nuts is that? Don't you think? Because you see, Jesus said, I'm going to build a church. And when he said it, he meant it. Nothing can stop the advance of the kingdom of God. And because the gospel is for absolutely everybody. And if you don't believe me, look at Acts chapter 16, the events that happened 2,000 years ago in the early days of the church, as this amazing guy, Paul, picked up the baton and ran hard for those who don't know Jesus. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts and was there as these things unfolded, tells us about three conversion stories in one chapter. There's a new church in Philippi, and the three different people who got converted into this church literally couldn't be more different. The first lady who got converted under their ministry in Acts chapter 16 is a woman called Lydia. You heard about her in the Bible reading. She's religious. She's a businesswoman. You know, she's a dealer in purple linen. And that was very expensive, very sought after in their day. And we know she's got a big house because after she got converted, she invited all the apostles to move in and share a home. And she offered them hospitality in this large house. Think of her if she lives today as a CEO of her own company with a house in the Duchess and a Maserati on the drive. You know, she's got it all going on. She's successful. She's a Gentile. She's a non-Jew. And she's been studying the Bible. In fact, the Bible in Acts, Luke calls her a worshipper of God. But still, she needed more. Still, she wasn't going to heaven. Still, she didn't know Jesus Christ. She was a religious person. And she needed what every single religious person needs, what the Bible calls her heart opening to respond to the message. And Paul brought that message, just the message she needed. And in fact, the Bible talks about it as a discussion. You know, it was a two-way thing. You can imagine, you know, she knew the Old Testament scriptures, and Paul is communicating with this successful business lady from the Old Testament, and they discussed together, I'm guessing, Abraham. And Paul explained that Abraham was chosen to bless all people. I'm guessing they discussed Moses, the law, and the whole sacrificial system that God had put in place to atone for the sins. I'm guessing Paul would have explained the key to understanding all this stuff in the Old Testament, all this stuff in the Hebrew scriptures was found in a person. What's his name? What's his name? Jesus. Ah, Jesus. Like Paul would say, look, Lydia, it all makes sense when you get to know Jesus. She's like been studying and wrestling and what's it all about? And Paul's like the fulfillment of all that Old Testament stuff is found in a person, God who came to earth.
the one who truly came to bless the whole world, the only person who's ever kept the Ten Commandments in spirit and truth and was therefore perfect and able to be the ultimate sacrifice on the cross for our sins, the one who rose, and I'm guessing Paul said, like I can say, I've met him. I've met this Jesus, and he's changed my life. Can you say that this morning? Can you say, I've encountered Jesus Christ. He's come in, he's forgiven my sins, he's changed my life. And as Paul explained this to Lydia, the Lord opened her heart. And right there in Philippi, she went from religion to relationship. She went from thinking she had to do stuff to please God. She had to try her best to please God, to realize it had all been done. And she could be forgiven once and for all. How amazing is that? And I'm praying, I've been praying before this service, that might happen to you today. There might be people here today even who come along and you're thinking you've got to do stuff to please God. And you're suddenly going to realize it's all been done and I can be free just to serve God, free to go to heaven when I die because my sins are forgiven, free to live like it because Jesus is in my life and he's changed me. It's the most amazing miracle in the world. We celebrate all kinds of miracles. We pray for miracles. You know what the greatest miracle in the world is? It's the miracle that's happening all over the world when people truly encounter Jesus. Don't you want to see that miracle more? So Lydia, and of course Lydia was a businesswoman who went on to bless the church. At times of revival, and I'm praying for revival, I'm believing in my lifetime, Lord, we're going to see a major move of your spirit again in the UK. At times of revival, there's a move amongst the business community and there's a move amongst the poor. You track it back. Because revival's expensive. Somebody's got to sacrificially give to fund this baby. And so God saves business people and gets them fired up and they want to give and they have great joy and funding and fueling God's work. But alongside that move in the business community, there's always a move amongst the margins, amongst the most broken. And the second conversion story in Acts chapter 16 is about as far from Lydia as you can get and still call yourself a human being. You know, she's a slave girl, a demon-possessed slave girl on the streets of Philippi, completely powerless. Today, if you want to picture a drug addicted, trafficked sex worker, maybe someone living in the center of Harrogate, sleeping in the shop doorways, you know, she was never going to be converted through some theological discussion with this great mind of the Apostle Paul. She needed something different. She needed a power encounter. She needed God to just break in the way we're seeing God break in the prisons and the tough communities and amongst the most broken often. You see, she was full of demons and she followed the apostle screaming at the top of her voice, "These men are servants of the Most High God," for days. You know, Paul's just trying to minister and do God's work and this woman is driving him crackers, screaming at the top of her voice. Bible says Paul was deeply disturbed. And he turned to her and said, "In the name of Christ, I command you to come out." A power encounter. Literally, the demons left her and she fell down and gave her life to Christ. Love it. What a transformation. We have a special calling, I believe, to reach the hardest to reach of the message. And I think Jesus gets a lot of glory when some demon-possessed slave girl comes to know Jesus. Or some rampant offender gives their life to Christ. Guys like this, we've got that picture of this guy. This guy's called Mo Timbo. He's one of my favorites. He's in my advanced group. I know you have an advanced group or a couple of advanced groups here, training evangelists, but Mo's in my group. We first met Mo in Thorn Cross Prison, doing a long stretch for drug dealing and knife crime. And then he came to Jesus and was like, you know, some people... No, go back. I'll tell you about that in a minute. So, some people, you know, come to Jesus and it's a massive roller coaster and we work with them and we try and disciple and they fall back and then we have to patch him up and put him in a rehab house and all that stuff. Mo was just one of these people, for some reason, just went on like a train from day one. Literally, and this isn't evangelistically speaking, this really happened. Hundreds of people came to Christ through this lad. From the moment, I think the number was 600 offenders gave their life to prison, gave their life to Christ in prison through this guy. Just amazing. And then he left prison, married his wife within about a week. His girlfriend married Elizabeth, and they've got a little boy now, Jonathan. And he went to Hull to plant a church, the hardest place in Britain, the East Coast, you know, the toughest communities, real heart for all the gang members. And I'm like, is he going to be okay? You know, he's only just come out of prison. But him and Elizabeth called to Hull, and now they've planted this amazing church. It's crazy what God's doing. And they've moved out of the school hall into this big Methodist church, taken over the Methodist church, hundreds. And he said to me last week, came from, met for our advanced group, he said, my problem is, Andy, I don't get any transfer growth. Nobody joins our church from outside. I just need a few rich people to join. It's all gangsters and it's all, you know, ex-convicts. I'm like, no, that's the way it's meant to be. But anyway, so about 6 weeks ago, he told me this story this week. At his prayer meeting, this was the headline in the Hull Daily Mail. Horrible headline. Mass man laughs as woman has gun pointed at her head. And this young lad came out of court laughing because he got off on a technicality. He'd held this woman up at gunpoint with a mask on in Hull. Horrible thing. But now we would say, some of us I'm sure in this church, well, lock him up, throw away the key, that's disgusting. You know what Mo said? He held that up in their prayer meeting, said, I want us to pray for this young man that he stops doing that and goes from the problem to the answer, that Jesus changes his heart and he stops doing these wicked things. And the lads in the prayer meeting, well, we know who that is, that's Ty. Because that's Ty, we know who that is, that's Ty. So we're praying like mad for Ty at the prayer meeting. And they went out, as they do every Saturday, on mission in Hull Town Centre. Guess who was there in Hull Town Centre? Guess who Mo then led to the Lord? And here's a picture of him last week in church. With all seven of these guys are all rampant career criminals who've given their life to Jesus. And that's Mo with his advanced group, training them in the Lord. How amazing is that? See, Mo believes that the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus of pardon receives. And for the last 5 weeks, he's been in the front row at church and he's bringing his brothers along and he knows Jesus and he's forgiven. And Mo sent me another picture, which I haven't got on the screen, of Ty from this week saying, my first day at work. Got a job. And life's up because Jesus is in charge. Don't you love it? And Jesus breaks into the most broken. What a win for society. You see, the Lord knows what we need. If we need a power encounter, you can experience that today. If that's what you need, there's a group of us who'd love to pray. If you need breakthrough in some area of your life, God is still moving in power all over the world. He can move this morning. So back to the story anyway. As a result of the slave girl being set free, it really kicked off in Philippi. As often happens when we're just trying to do the Lord's work here. And he's doing things, but there is a devil who's against us. And the masters of this girl who could no longer do all this weird fortune telling she was doing because the demons had left her, gets Paul and Silas arrested, accused with introducing a false and alien religion. And the Bible says Paul and Silas received a severe beating from the Romans. Now, the Romans were good at severe beatings. Anybody seen The Passion of the Christ? I mean, these severe beatings could literally kill you. And then they were thrown into the inner cell, and the swollen legs, were put in stocks by this uncaring jailer. And Paul and Silas' response was amazing. Don't you love this? Verse 25. You know, I would be a bit like, get me out of here, God. Heal me, God. Get me out of here. I'm meant to be on the mission and I'm in prison. This is what Paul and Silas' response was. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. You bet they were. The other prisoners knew what these guys had just been through, and yet they were still praying and praising. And the jailer was listening too. Who's the third conversion story in Acts chapter 16? It goes to show a man can be saved as well as a woman. That's good, isn't it? Because the gospel is for absolutely everybody. Often men have more stubborn hearts. So often it's the women who come in first and then the lads coming after them, kicking and screaming. I've seen that time and again. Isn't that the case? But he's a civil servant, this guy. Because everybody who got this kind of job as a civil servant was a former soldier in Roman times. And he probably, if he's in Harrogate, he'd have a Ford on the drive and live in the Smithies, is it? Is that right? The Saints. He'd live in the Saints. He'd live in the Saints. He'd have a semi-detached house and a Ford on the drive. You know, he's a middle-class guy. He's got an okay job, but absolutely no interest in the things of God. He's a hard-hearted, working man. And power encounters weren't going to get to him. He'd say it's all airy-fairy, all that stuff. Even powerful teaching from the scriptures, he's hard-hearted. What this guy needed to see was actually what most people need to see who are going to come to Christ. They need to see Christians living altogether differently. He needed to see Christians' attitude to suffering being so different. He needed to see Christians' love being so remarkable. He needed to see what Jesus can do in someone's heart if he was going to be converted. And boy, did he see it in that prison cell. See, there was an earthquake, and as a result, the prison walls fell down and the prisoners could go out. I didn't experience this, but shortly after we left Haiti in 2011, whenever it was, terrible earthquake, the walls of the prison in Haiti came down, and 3,000 of Haiti's worst prisoners were running riot across Port-au-Prince. Same thing happened here in Philippi. And the jailer was convinced he was a dead man, because he knew the rules. If you let any of these prisoners go, you pay with your life. So he took his sword as a man of honor and was about to kill himself. But Paul said, don't harm yourself. We're all here. I mean, this is nuts, isn't it? This is crazy behavior. Why not just run for your life and get out of that terrible place? This was too much for this man, and this is what his response was. The jailer called for lights and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. See, argument and discussion wouldn't have worked, even emotional encounter. For this rough, tough ex-military man, he had to see Christianity lived out. Your friends need to see joy through suffering. Your friends need to see love of Christ even for your enemies. You get it? Gospel is for all people. It's for absolutely everybody. Anybody can be saved if we'll just do what it says in the book. If we'll stay close to the Lord. Now, I listened to a brilliant sermon from Tim Keller about this passage. And in this sermon, Tim Keller pointed out that there was a famous, maybe infamous prayer that religious Jewish men would pray virtually every day. The Pharisees would pray it. It was a prayer that Paul would have prayed before he was converted to Christ. He would have prayed it many, many times. The prayer goes like this. I thank you, God, that I am not a Gentile, a woman, or a slave. How about that? How about the three people who get saved in this chapter? Three of the very first conflicts are exactly what? A Gentile, a woman, a slave. Don't you love this gospel? It's for everybody. We're all one in Christ. We're all Jesus' adopted brothers and sisters. Gospel is really for absolutely everybody. Christians, we need to wake up to this. Maybe you need to go home and get on the phone and say, come along tonight to church for 6 o'clock. It's for you. Even if you're a hard-hearted person, even if you're an utterly broken person, even if you're a person who seems you've got it all going on, you've got all the success in the world, you desperately need Jesus, and Jesus is for you. And he can find a way into your heart. Do you believe it? If we believe it, let's not keep it to ourselves. Can we just pray as we come to the end of this service? See, I don't know who's here this morning. But I do know Jesus is here by his Spirit. And I do know he loves to save. And I do know this gospel is for absolutely everybody. So that means it's for you. And I pray now, Lord, that salvation will spring up in this church. You'll do your new thing. I pray fresh commitment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So I just want you to do something. If you want to become a Christian this morning, you don't need to know everything.
But you don't know Christ. Maybe you've been doing religion. Maybe you've not. Maybe you just turned up this morning. You've been invited. But you really want to be a Christian. You want to know forgiveness. You want to know his power to live right. You want to make Jesus Lord of your life. You don't have to understand everything. You want to go to heaven. There's only through Jesus can you go to heaven. You want that. If that's you this morning. And I'd love you just to raise your hand right where you are. Just raise your hand. Not to me, but to God. Anybody needs to do that this morning, Howard? That's it. Beautiful. It's worth coming, actually, for one lady raising her hand. It's worth crawling across broken glass for one person who wants to know Jesus. But anybody else, just raise your hand this morning. Say yes to Jesus. That's it. Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? I'm just going to, because God's doing something here. He's saving people. He's forgiving sins. He's restoring death. There's another hand going up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're not putting your hand up to Andy Hawthorne. You're reaching out to God saying, here I am. I believe the gospel's for all people, so it's for me. Anybody else? Joining these three precious people with our four, yeah, at the back there. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we should be getting excited about this, shouldn't we? People jumping out of wheelchairs this morning and healed of cancer. We'd be getting excited. This is the greatest miracle in the world. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Just in this moment. Yeah, beautiful. Guy at the back there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. Just anybody else? Just before we pray, I want us to pray a prayer together as a church family. A full surrender to Jesus. And if you raise your hand saying, I want to be a Christian this morning, I want to give my life to Christ, I want you to pray it with your whole heart and your whole mind. And Jesus honestly says, anyone who comes to me, there's no way I'll turn them away. Thank you, Lord. So let's just pray. I'll tell you what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, dear Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of all my sins, give me a fresh start. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that you're alive today. Be alive in me, Jesus, by your Spirit. And with your help, I'll live all out for you for the rest of my days. And that's what we all want in this church for Christians. So let's just join together. After me, phrase by phrase. Dear Lord Jesus, please come into my life. Forgive me of every sin. And give me a fresh start. With your help, Lord Jesus, I'll live all out for you for the rest of my days. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord, and help me to go for you. Amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Love you. I'd love you to visit the message stand on the way out. But I'd especially love you if you raise your hand or if you just feel like I want to set a seal on something God said to me. Maybe you feel like I'd love to have fresh urgency and fresh passion to go to my friends, and maybe some of that's died down. A small group of myself and Giles and others will be just at the front. We'd love to pray with you and just set a seal on what God's done this morning. Please come back tonight. I'll be back here and let's believe for more salvation and God to do more tonight. And that could be your friends if you just invite them. So, okay, amen.
Thank you so much, Andy. It's great.